It's the fifth day in the octave of Christmas, and it is also the feast of St. Thomas of Canterbury, Bishop and Martyr. Welcome to today's Christmas cast. This is Father John Zulsdorf.
St. Thomas of
Although in the 1962 Missale Romanum, we stress the fifth day of the octave, there's also a Mass formulary for the same day for St. Thomas of Canterbury, Thomas Becket, the bishop and martyr. You know his story, so I won't recount it. The feast of St. Thomas on the 29th of December, however, in the octave of Christmas, kind of confronts us away with the bracing truth about the Incarnation. The birth of the Prince of Peace introduced conflict into the world. And immediately after the birth of the child king, whose cradle is already overshadowed by the cross, the Church puts before us witnesses whose fidelity provoked violent opposition. St. Stephen, St. John, who they tried to kill when he was in Rome, the Holy Innocents, and now Thomas Becket, the tell us something about the cost of discipleship, don't they? Becket's martyrdom embodies the perennial tension between temporal powers and the sovereignty of Christ over everything, over all nations. The newborn king's rights over consciences and worship and the Church are not abstractions in the case of these saints. Thomas, consumed by zeal for the liberty of the Church, defended the spiritual jurisdiction given by Christ to the Church against the monarch's encroachments. His death in the cathedral underscores that we cannot be subordinated to the state because we've been secured by Christ's blood. Commenting on the lineup of the martyrs after Christmas, Ildefonso Schuster, the great liturgist and once Archbishop of Milan, talks about the formulary of Thomas Becket's Mass. He calls it imposing, pathetic, that is, you know, very moving, and an eloquent expression made by the murder of the great prelate. And he adds, "After the red blossoms with which the innocents decked the crib of the babe of Bethlehem, it is most fitting that one of the most powerful prelates of the Middle Ages should come to place thereon a chaplet of roses in the name of the whole Catholic episcopate. We shall find this Mass constantly laying stress upon the gifts and duties of a bishop and pastor of souls." Pius Parsh, in his work, The Church's Year of Grace, quotes at length a passage from St. John Chrysostom, which he says is for Matins this day, but it isn't in any breviary that I've found. But he does provide the text, which I shall now share with you. St. John Chrysostom, himself a model pastor, speaks today in the Divine Office on the meaning of the priesthood. "Grand indeed is the work of the priesthood, tremendously grand, if I may repeat. Great wisdom and courage are required, for, as the Lord enjoins, we must sacrifice our lives for the sheep, we must never forsake them, we must bravely resist the wolf. Here we have a difference between the shepherd and the hireling. The one, concerned primarily over his own safety, neglects the sheep. The other, sacrificing himself, is concerned chiefly over the safety of the flock. Long ago Ezekiel had this to say, 'Woe to Israel's shepherds, for they are simply pasturing themselves.' It is the flock that must be fed by the shepherds, isn't it? Yet they do the very opposite, exemplifying exquisite malice and causing many evils. Furthermore, the prophet says, 'What was scattered, they did not lead back. What was lost, they did not seek. What was broken, they did not mend. Nor did they carefully attend the weak. Only themselves, not the flock, have they cared for.'" In honoring St. Thomas within the octave of the Nativity, the Church, I think, is teaching us that fidelity to Christ has consequences. If we kneel at the creche, we must also be ready to stand firm in the cathedral. The joy of the Incarnation summons courage from us because the child who comes to save the world calls disciples who will follow him without reserve, even into conflict or sacrifice or even unto death.